Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today may seem a little bit out of place, but this was last Sunday's text as we began Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. No, it's the second Sunday, but it still applies. God's Word applies to us each and every day. And here is Isaiah the prophet once again in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. The word of Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. So far, God's word for our consideration this morning, as we reflect upon this word that nourishes us, that strengthens our walk of life and faith, and leads us to the still waters of his word to comfort and strengthen us in our walk of life. I want you to think about that life. I want you to think about the journey that your life is on. Yes, you began by coming out of your mother's womb. Maybe pink, or maybe as Andrew, our son, was blue and floppy. You never know how you're going to come out of the womb, but you come out as a child of God. And that's the physical start of your journey. Then think about your spiritual journey. Journey that began at the baptismal font. When the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as you grew in years, you thought about this God, and you thought about how rosy is your life going to be. That this path of life is not going to be strewn with rocks or little jabs of the rocks. This life that you are living is not going to be among the thorns or the thistles, that you are going to have a beautiful journey. Nothing is going to derail your journey of life. You sit down and you start planning everything that you're going to do from teenager on. That life is going to treat you just fine. Then you know something? God throws that tree in front of you. Or he raises up a rock and you stumble over it. Or he has a curve in your plans and you go around it. Or maybe a pothole. We remember those potholes. Spring comes and we have numerous potholes. And maybe those potholes come. All the while, you live as a child of God. And then, because you are confirmed and you have that nature upon you that you've gone to church for 52 weeks out of the year, plus the midweek services and all of these special services and everything, you know, I'm going to take my rest. Because that's the world we live in. We can decide for ourselves that we're not going to go to church. We start to sway. We start thinking that it's nice to have our time away on the weekends, away from school and away from schedules and alarm clocks and
Oh boy, that's going to be fun. And we stray, we start straying, and we continue on that straying path until we reach our 20s. And then we say, well, maybe God is worth it. Maybe I should go back to church. And, oh, by the way, I'm getting married, and we want our child baptized, and maybe Sunday school, maybe not Sunday school. Wow, what a path we're living. You ever think about that path? Ever think about what you are encountering in this life? Things that come up between us and obstacles that stand in our way of worshiping God. We're now in the Advent season. And in the Advent season, we have two things that we look for. We look to Christmas, when we can celebrate Christ's birth again. The babe in the manger, bringing him our gifts and singing praises to him. But you know, Advent also has another reason. Advent has a reason of us looking forward to the second advent of Christ, his second coming. And as we look there, we start to stumble. And we start to look at our world differently. Instead of the diamonds and the necklaces, even the cars and the trucks and all of the gorgeous prizes that are underneath the tree, we start thinking about Christ coming back again. And when we start thinking about Christ coming back again, what do we think about? We think about the end of our life. We start to think about all those prizes underneath the tree really aren't worth it. All the glamorous gifts that are given, even if we are living in a materialistic world, we start to think about our spiritual life. We start to think about maybe the road to Christ isn't really the road to Christ. We have our doubts. But yet God comes to us. And he comes to us with sober words, too. Be on the alert. Watch. You don't know when the time will come. You don't know when the time will come when God will call you home again. You have no idea. No clue. No letter that comes from God saying on the 16th of September in the year of 2026, I'm going to call you home. Or it doesn't come to the February 14th of the year 2027, I'm going to call you home. God does not operate that way. But he wants us to wait and watch because we don't know the time that our Lord has for us. So what do we do in the meantime? He wants us to walk in his way. He wants us to walk on the path. He wants us to be in the Word. He wants us to be reading that Word and not just a coffee book table or coffee table book. He just doesn't want the Bible sitting on the shelf gathering dust. He doesn't want the precious Word that no one wants to take down because we don't want to bruise the cover or anything. He wants us in that Word. He wants us to walk in his way. He wants us to walk with him every single day of our lives. And you're looking at a guy that before I went to seminary, I didn't read the Word very regularly. But you know, God has a lot to say in this Word. Not just that we're sinners, and not that just that we're saints. He tells us in his word that we're going to stumble. He tells us in his word that we're going to fail. He tells us that we're going to make mistakes. He tells us that we're not going to be as perfect as he is. But he also tells us that because of Christ,
we are forgiven. Because of Christ, our sins are removed from God as far as the east is from the west. And Jeremiah says, I will remember their sins no more. That doesn't mean that we go out and we continue on sinning and sinning. We're going to do that. That means that we are also forgiven because of Christ. Because of Christ's work here in the world. And because of what Christ did for us on the cross, that he died. And he rose from the tomb to give us eternal life and forgiveness of sins. That's all that God does for us. He does immense things. In Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace that you have been saved. Grace through Jesus Christ, him crucified and living forever. It is through that Jesus that we are saved. And it is through that power and strength that we come and we worship and we give God thanks and praise for us. Because as we come to worship, it's a two-way street. It's ours giving our thanks and praise to God, and also giving our prayers to him and him blessing us each and every day with so many things. Blessing us with family and friends. Blessing us with the power and the strength to live. Blessing us with what we need in life. And as he blesses us, he turns the tables on us, so to speak. He says, because I have blessed you, I want you to give me thanks and praise. As we walk with him, we listen to him. We listen to his physical, that we were given that physical life, and we also listen to him as he tells us about the spiritual life that we have in him. That he is the potter and we are the clay. And he takes that clay, takes that human being, stubborn guy, and he sits at the potter's wheel, and he continues to mold us and mold us and mold us. Although there's going to be bumps and bruises on that clay, but after it comes out and after it's whatever you do when you put it in the oven and you take it out of the oven, and there's a beautiful pot that's ready to be painted. And he paints that pottery with beauty and strength. He paints us, yes, with blue and green and yellow and all the colors. And then he puts this piece of pottery on the shelf to admire and see how beautiful that is. And all of a sudden, the room is shaken and the shelf is shaken and that pottery falls down and breaks in pieces. He doesn't take the dust, the mop, and he doesn't just throw it in the garbage. He picks each piece up gently and starts to mold it once again into that beautiful piece of pottery that you and I are by his grace and by his mercy. And as he admires that beautiful piece of pottery, that beautiful person, he instills in that person the power of the Holy Spirit to turn to him in thankfulness and prayer, so that we walk with him and continue to walk in his word as he continues to tell us how precious we are and how thankful we are by being instructed in the word. Being nourished by that word, being nourished by Christ's body and blood given
and strengthen for us. For you and I, Jesus Christ, fills us with words of hope. Hope that is not going to disappoint us. And then we learn back in Jeremiah chapter 29, that hope comes out again. Because God says to Jeremiah that he has plans for us. Plans to prosper and give us a future and a hope. A hope and future that does not disappoint. It's all given by God. But he wants us to walk with him. He wants us to walk with him and hear the word of hope over and over and over again. We'll go home. We'll watch the Vikings. We'll think with hope that they can overcome all of their transgressions and stumbling and obstacles and everything and give us hope. And then when disappointment comes in, yet again, tomorrow morning, he's going to raise us. He's going to raise us to a bright and beautiful day that we will see his glory, and he'll give us hope once again, whether it's a physical hope, but more importantly, he gives us a spiritual hope so that during these weeks of Advent, we continue to remember who we are and how blessed we are by that gracious and wonderful God. As we continue to hear how precious we are in his word. You see, the Advent season gives us promise and hope. The Advent season not just looks to Christmas and the babe of Bethlehem, but looks to Christ coming again. As I continue to live each and every day, I feel most blessed by this gracious and wonderful God. And yes, I do wonder when he will call me home, because I continue to be reminded I'm in strange territory. Since my daughter-in-law has told me that the men in the Figge family don't live very long, I start to remember this physical body, and I start to remember my faith that I have in God and praise him and thank him that he has blessed me with so many blessings. Above all, he has blessed me with the faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like to say that my favorite scripture is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. In Christ's holy name, amen.